your King. Woo! Yes! What's the name of the Lord who loves you? Jesus! Amen. You may all have a seat. Praise Him. Oh, He's so good to us. Hallelujah. I love being a part of your worship here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, have a question for you all. My question is, do you know me? Now, Pastor Haley had a couple of words to share about me. You might have caught that I'm married, I have some children, a couple of grandbabies. You might have heard some of that, right? Some of you I've spent a little bit of time with this week, with the worship sessions that we've been doing together. But do you know me? Do you know me? So when we get asked that question, do you know someone? There's different responses that we could have. You could just say, no, I don't know that person. Or you might say, well, I think I might have heard of them. That name kind of rings a bell. Maybe I know them. You could also answer, I've heard other people talk about them. I've heard other people talk about them, but I've never met them personally. You could even say, well, we do spend some time together, but I wouldn't call us close. You could also say, we regularly spend time together, and we are getting to know each other better and better. You could also say, I live with that person. We spend time together every day. I know them and they know me. I usually know what they're going to say before they say it. You know anybody like that? Yep. I know that they like creamy peanut butter instead of chunky peanut butter. Or smooth, right? Smoothie peanut butter instead of chunky peanut butter. This is somebody that you've shared your thoughts, your dreams, your hurts with, and your desires for the future. And you could say, yes, I know them. I really know them. Notice as I went through those different levels of knowing someone, something that came up was, how much time do we spend with them, that person? That's really important. And how much we communicate with someone. You could work with someone and have an office next to them, but you never, they might even be in a desk next to you, but if you don't have any communication with them, you're with them all day at work, you don't know them. But spending time with them and communicating is how we get to know somebody. And praise the Lord, He wants you to know Him. God wants us to know Him. Hallelujah. The God of the universe, the God who made me, wants me to know Him. There's a little song, an old song, but it goes, to know Him is to love Him. So just like we were talking about knowing that God loves us, and it's vitally important that we love Him, part of our journey of loving Him is knowing Him. One of the first times that things went off in you about how wonderful He was and worthy of your love was when you knew that He gave His Son to die for you, right? And that was an expression of His love to you, and it caused you, as you know Him, He did this for me, it causes you to love Him. Likewise, the more you know Him, the more you will love Him. He's absolutely irresistible. Hallelujah. Our God. Our God, our glorious, loving Father. We can look back again at how we were created in the garden, made in His image, so that we could fellowship with God. Primary purpose for your existence. Does that sound like something exciting to know? Primary purpose for your existence is to fellowship with him. That's why he made you. That's why he made you. The Father wanted children. He wanted a family. He didn't want robots. I think he's very impressed with the animals he has created. If you read through the latter chapters of Job, God talks about the animals he's created, and it makes you laugh and strikes awe in your heart as he talks about that. But none of them were made in his image where he could communicate with them. But we can communicate with our Father. We can fellowship with him. We can know him. Again, primary purpose for our existence is to fellowship with the Lord. And this has to be a priority in our lives as we recognize that all the other areas of our life flow out of our fellowship with him. He is concerned about the areas of your life. He wants you to have a healthy, strong marriage. He wants you to have a family also that's healthy and strong and loves him. Children that are raised up to serve him. He wants you to be in an area of work, if that's raising children, if it's out in the workforce, if it's getting an education. He's concerned about all these areas of our lives. He's concerned about the call that he has on your life. Amen. But we have to understand that all those areas of our life are affected by our relationship or fellowship with the Lord. Again, it all comes back to him. Amen. There's beautiful exhortations here about we need each other, and we do need each other. We need our sisters. We need our brothers in the Lord to walk the path that God has assigned for each one of us. But the thing we need most is him. The thing we need most is him. Amen. So Paul, again back to Paul, he had a prayer in chapter 1 for the verse 17. And again, he here is praying for the church, for the church. Say the church. The church. So here in Ephesus, this is the church that has received the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and given their hearts to him. And here Paul is praying, and he says, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, will give you spiritual wisdom and revelation. Why? So that you may know him better. So that you may know him better. Can we say this right here all together? But when we get to the words that have to do with you, can we personalize it with me and I? So as if we are praying this for ourselves right now. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, will give me spiritual wisdom and revelation so that I may know him better. Amen. And you know, if the Holy Spirit led Paul to pray this prayer for these believers, then this is something that can happen in our lives. What can happen? We can know him better. Hallelujah. So here we read about God's part in knowing him, that he gives spiritual wisdom and revelation. And we pray for that, and we trust that he is our faithful Father. And as we pray that he will give it. Amen. You pray that with excitement and expectation that you are going to know him better. That's God's part. But there's also a man's part to know him. And we are to seek him. We are to seek him. Jeremiah 29, verse 13 says, you will will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So we have a part to play in this. It's not like God just, you know, comes down and whap, 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 and oh, now I know who you are. No, he's there. He's available. He is pouring revelation out, but we've got to open up our hearts and seek after him. In the book of Philippians, chapter 3, we hear about the Apostle Paul's heart desire to know God. And would you think that if somebody might know God, it would maybe be Paul? Right? Right? Jesus, yes. Paul, one would think so. But let's hear what he says about his desire to grow in his knowledge of God. Verses 7 through 11. I once thought these things were valuable. And I'm going to stop because if you recall this chapter, he talks about all these things, areas in his life that he has been very successful in. Okay? And his list is likely not the same as ours because none of us are, I'm not thinking any of us are the Pharisee of a Pharisee or anything, any of those kinds of things. But we all have a list of things in our life that are important to us. And they also might be things that we think are accolades about us that make us important. Might be I got a degree from college. It might be I have a successful marriage. You know, you can think about what your list is. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared. I'm going to stop because does God care about your marriage? Yes, he does. Does God care about your children? Yes, he does. But what Paul is pointing out, all the things of life, nothing when we sing these words, nothing compares to you, to knowing you and loving you. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and for his sake I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. Amen. Now that list that Paul had, those were all things that he thought brought worth and value to his life. That he was the Pharisee of the Pharisees, that he was of the tribe of Benjamin, that he had all these important things that he was. But he says, none of that counts compared to knowing him who is truly who I find my value, my worth in. Again, God doesn't want to say to you, don't care about your marriage. Don't care about what you do with your life. Don't care about your children. The emphasis here is that He's the all in all. He's the everything. And really, when we have that attitude and we're looking at him as our source of value, his love for me means more to me than anything else, then something happens inside of us that allows us to be the ones that can love other people, the ones that can walk in marriage and not take offense, the ones that can deal with your children in a calm and patient way when everything's rocking crazy. Amen. 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 So Paul says, it's of infinite value knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now, throughout the word, there are exhortations to us to come to the Lord, to seek the Lord, to know the Lord. We should understand that our God is no bully. Our God is no bully. He's a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on anyone. Now, if he did, then he'd force everybody to get born again. But you know that people are allowed to have a choice to receive him or not. Again, it's to receive him. He's not a bully. He's a gentleman. He makes invitation to us, come, seek, know me. But we're the ones that are going to have to open the door to him. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, here Jesus is talking and he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him." Wow, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. He's describing sweet fellowship, intimate fellowship. I will come into him, eat with him, share life with him, walk with him. When we get born again, that's the first time we open up that door to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as our Savior, because he stands at the door of everyone's heart and knocks. I'm so glad I opened the door. Are you glad you opened the door to the Lord Jesus? Amen, amen. But there is an ongoing pursuit of him that's up to us. We can open the door to salvation and then just kind of leave it shut and move along with our life. But you and I, when we made Jesus our Savior, we also made Jesus the Lord of our life. Amen. It wasn't just for a one-time encounter, so I got my fancy ticket that says, you don't have to go to hell. Yay! So much more than that. He wants to be in you. He wants to be a part of your life. He wants to walk and talk and fellowship with you on Sundays. Yeah. Every day. All of the time. That's his desire. So let us daily open the door to the Lord, because he's there. He's there. We might think he's not there. He's there. The Lord Jesus is there. He laid his life down for you. He's there. He's there. Let us daily open the door to him and seek him with all our hearts. In fact, I think our goal is that that door is flung wide open and we're partaking of life with him every moment of our existence. Amen. How can we do something like this? Well, one way we can do this is we talked about opening up the door, but it's also by acknowledging his presence, that he's here. He's with me. He's available to me. He wants to be with me. Acknowledging him. Have you ever had a day, I have had days where I've lived my day and things have gone wrong, 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 and all of a sudden at some point in the day I'm like, I haven't talked to you once. I haven't thought of you. I haven't praised you. I haven't asked you a question. I haven't made I'm just living my life. And you know how those days can be. They can be rather tumultuous. There's a word, tumultuous. Right? But I wasn't involving him in my life, and he is there, and I needed to acknowledge him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's what I was doing that day. I was just leaning on my own understanding, going through my day. I think I should do this. I think they should this, and things were not working well. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. This acknowledge is not just like you see somebody cross the way and you go, and I acknowledge you, and you move on. No, this kind of acknowledgement has to do with asking him what he thinks about a situation in your life, about what you're to do next, about provision for you. That word is also translated in some translations, submit. In all your ways, submit to him. How can I submit to him if I haven't even found out what direction he has for me? By allowing him in and talking with him. So here we've been started out with talking about knowing someone. and God's desire for you to know him. And this is one of the ways, communication. We've got to communicate with him to know him. Now this week, Pastor Haley and I have gotten to spend quite a bit of time together, and we don't always, living on opposite sides of the world, get to spend a lot of time together. So I'd say in the time we've had, we've been just communicating with each other, being with each other, and even sometimes when we're not talking, we're learning about each other. So we've grown to know each other more this week. I'm thinking of a lunch that I went on with another lady one time, and she's a minister, and her and her husband are involved in a lot of things. And we went out to lunch, and we didn't know each other very well, and so this would be an opportunity to get to know each other. And our lunch was. I asked her questions, she shared, and she continued to talk about the wonderful things that they're getting to do. And I got to know a lot about her, but at the end of the lunch, it was kind of funny because I felt there was a little kind of an emptiness inside of me. And I realized she never asked me a question. And so she didn't know me any better before the lunch or after the lunch. And we've got to communicate with him. Amen? And part of that communication, we might think of prayer as I'm talking. I'm making requests of him. I'm asking him what I should do. But if we never listen, so this gal I went to lunch with, she never got to hear anything from me. So she doesn't know me any better. Same way with us in our times of talking with him, which in our life of talking and walking with him, our life. You know, prayer is not defined by you getting on your knees and shutting a door. Prayer is to be your communication with him in a daily way, an ongoing moment-by-moment way. Yes. You might say, is that possible? We can grow in this as we seek him because he's there, right? We open the door. We invite him into our life, into the situations of our life. And we allow him to what? To talk. We're listeners. We ask questions, but then you ask the question and just, okay, I'm just going to figure this out and do it. No, what is he saying to me? What is he saying to me? Communication with God. It's important, I really believe this, that in the morning we all have some kind of a habit that causes us to be mindful of the Lord first thing when you wake up. And I will say I am not perfect at this. I grow in this, but I purpose when my guys wake up, I say something to him. Praise you, Lord. Oh, thank you for this good night's rest. I did say that this morning, I'm telling you, because I had a good night's rest last night. And praising him. And another thing I do, and this doesn't have to be what you do, but I'll say this is the day that you've made. And I rejoice, and I'm glad in it, and I put my day in him. This is the day you've made. You've made a plan for me today, right? And that's what I want to walk in. I don't want to start getting busy doing my own thoughts here. His plan and his provision for me, because whatever he's got planned for you, he has provision for you. What does that look like? It could mean something we've been talking about today. It could mean walking in forgiveness. It could be his grace in your life to deal with situations that are very difficult. It might be wisdom for a direction in your life where you're supposed to not go this way, but do go this way. Amen. So right away in the morning, and I think a way that we can also practice what we're talking about right now is saying to him, Father, I want to know you more. I want to know you more. Another way that we can engage in knowing him, here we're talking with him. Some call this practicing his presence, meaning that I'm purposing to be mindful that God is with me all the time. There's another little song, oh, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there. What does that mean, as we tarry there? It means I'm spending time with him. I'm walking and talking with him. And the joy we share as we tarry there, no other has ever known. He can do that. He can walk. He desires it to walk with us and talk with us throughout the day. Our worship, we should be worshipers not just when we come to church together, although, wow, it's so good to get together with our brothers and sisters in the Lord, amen, encouraging ourselves and encouraging each other in why he is our God and how much we love him, but we need to be worshipers on our own, in our own time. That doesn't mean you have to play an instrument. Doesn't mean you have to sound good when you sing either. Amen. I've been in a lot of places in the world, and singing sounds different in different places. I like your singing, I'll say that. You have beautiful, beautiful voices. But expressing to him, praise you, thank you, acknowledging him helping you with situations in your life, be quick to usher forth that praise to him. And I see worship as a circular happening with the Father. Because worship is always a response to him. It's not a work that you do. It's a response to who he is. When you found out that Jesus died for you, you worshiped him and made him the Lord of your life. It was a response to him. When you found out, or it was emphasized to you maybe last week when you really messed up with something and you applied 1 John 1:9 to your life and you asked for forgiveness and you experienced his faithfulness to forgive you and cleanse you and purify you from all unrighteousness, and then you went, praise you, Father, because you are a forgiving God. See, it's a response to who he is. But as we respond to him, he outpours himself into you, which includes revelation about who he is. Can I have some testimonies here? You don't have to say it out loud, but I want to see hands. Has anyone in the time of worship, it could be this kind of worship, corporate church worship, or in your own time, when the Lord has shown you something about himself? Amen. And oftentimes it's the topic that you're singing about. You might be singing about the faithful love of the Lord, and you start to see things more and more. And the Holy Spirit hooks up with your worship and starts revealing things to you that the Lord has done for you in the past that reveals his faithful love to you as you're worshiping him for that. And so the circle goes. He has ministered to you. We respond in worship. There's a greater outpouring of revelation that happens in our lives as we worship him, as we open ourselves up to him in this intimate place of loving him with all our hearts and above all others. Amen. He pours out himself upon us, and then guess what? There should be another response of worship, amen, as greater and greater revelation comes to us of who he is and what he has done for you and for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, another way that we can practically, even though it's so spiritual, seek after him to know him more is by spending time in the Word. Kind of talking about the basics today. Prayer, communication with God, and spending time in the Word. What is the Word? Is the Word just something that's a whole bunch of old guys that lived thousands of years ago wrote down and put together, and it's a real heavy book that I lug around? No. It's spiritually inspired by the Holy Spirit, God's words to you to reveal Himself to us. Hallelujah. And yes, it's the time period of the writing of the Word of God was a very, very long time. Oh, God has done such a miraculous thing to bring us revelation of Himself through the Word of God. And truly, if we love Him, if we want Him, if we want to know Him more, then we are Bible readers. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. Yes, He wrote you. He wrote to you with His Word. It's a letter to you. Yes, it's a very big letter, but it's a letter to you so that you could know Him. I like to say the Word of God is like God's resume. You know, who He is, this is who I am. You know, we might write down our education. He didn't need any education because He already knew everything already, right? And here are all the things that I've done. And then also within this resume, He includes a love letter to you and to me, expressing that all these things that I have done have always been about you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Joshua 1 verse 8. It says here, what time am I done at? Okay, thank you. Perfect. This book of the law, that's the Bible, shall not depart from your mouth. Oh, so we're actually saying it too, right? We're reading it, but we're saying it. But you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Again, it all gets back to Him, being rooted in Him, because the Word is His expression of the way He thinks about things, what He likes, what I'm going to say He hates. There's things that God hates, and there's things that He loves, like you. Amen. But the Word is an expression of Him to us. Another verse, Psalm 1 verse 2, and Psalm 1 is about the righteous man. And blessed is he whose delight is in the law of the Lord. There's the Word again. And we are to what? Delight in the Word of the Lord. And who meditates on His law day and night. I think it's interesting that the two verses we just read both talked about day and night. Being in the Word day and night. And I think it's trying to give us the idea of all the time, but some very practical ways that we can walk out these verses is, first of all, making sure that I spend time in God's Word in the morning. In the morning. Why? To know Him. Amen. And so that I can live out and walk my day mindful again of His thoughts and His ways, what He says about things. There's a coffee company in America called Folgers. And so there's a little commercial that goes, the best way to start your day is Folgers in your cup, right? And so is the best way for me to start my day is coffee? Well, you might like coffee a lot, but it's not the best way to start your day. Excuse me. The best way, get in the Word. Again, acknowledging Him when you wake up and finding time in the morning to read His Word. And you will benefit from this all the day long. It is worth the sacrifice to get up early. You can have a smooth day or a rough day. We might say, but I've got too much to do. Well, don't try to do your busy day without acknowledging the Lord in prayer and reading the Word and find out what it is to drive through life with Jesus. Amen. You know, it doesn't need to be hours. We're in different seasons of life. I'm in a season of life where I have a little bit more freedom, and I get to do that sometimes in the morning. I might get to spend a couple of hours in the Word and just fellowshipping, communicating with my Father. But I know some of you have little children and they want to get up before you want to get up, right? But I'm going to cough again. How can you find ways to spend time in the Word, to pray? It doesn't have to be 5 chapters. It doesn't have to be 12 chapters. You might be in a season where it's like, I read my verse for the day. Praise the Lord. We'll trust that that verse empowers you today and gives you light along the way, all through the day. It also said, meditate on the Word day and night. God's Word at night. For what reason? To know Him. Let's go to Psalm 63. And to help me, because I'm going to cough while you read this, Psalm 63, you're going to read it out loud. They're going to turn my microphone off, and I'm going to cough. Okay, so Psalm 63. All right, go ahead, start reading. We'll keep going. Oh, there it is. Remembering Him when? On my bed and meditating on Him in the watches of the night. And what will happen if we will do that? It says, my soul is going to be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise Him with joyful lips. Before we go to sleep, I'll use a mild word. I'm going to use the word helpful. But I could use the word essential for sure. To let yourself read the Word. Again, it doesn't have to be. You don't have to read all of Leviticus and Numbers before you go to bed. But read something. Or, you know, I have a list in my Bible of Bible verses that are ministering to me right now in the season that I'm in, which is kind of funny because I'm older today than I was yesterday, right? So my verses are like this. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And Isaiah 46 verse 4. Even to your old age and gray hairs, they are there. I just put this blonde stuff over them so you can't see them. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He. I am He who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. So I have a number of verses, but again, verses that are ministering to me right now. And I read them before I go to bed. And you know what that does? That allows me to ponder them, even as I'm sleeping. It's a wonderful thing to wake up in the night and realize you're thinking about Him, not the junk that happened yesterday. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the verse in Proverbs chapter 3. Now, Proverbs chapter 3, there's all kinds of encouragement in this chapter to remember the Lord's teaching. What's that? It's the Word of God, right? To keep the counsel of the Lord before you in your sight. And then it says, if you will do that, keep the Word before you, then verse 24, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. If you're having trouble sleeping at night, get into the Word before you go to bed. Talk to Him before you go to bed. Amen. Just say, Jesus, I want to be with You all night tonight. And I trust You that I'm going to be able to fall asleep and sleep well tonight in You. In Jesus' name, yes. Also, in those first verses that we talked about, delight yourself in the Lord and meditate on His Word day and night. The word meditate. So this is where we always want to be wary of filling the check mark of reading the Bible and your eyeballs went by the black little letters on the page and you get done. And if you were to ask yourself honestly, what did I read? You'd say, I really have no idea. But to allow ourselves to meditate on the Word of God. And so there's something about getting to read through the Word of God and know the whole Word of God, but there must be a place in our life where we take little bits and meditate like we chew on them. We eat them. I spend time chewing this and swallowing it so it's like it becomes a part of me. Allowing the Word of God to be revealed to you. That's a beautiful thing to do before you go to bed. You've read a scripture and just, and it, again, are you going to meditate on five chapters? No, it's probably going to be a verse. Something that you can just allow to turn around inside of you. And as you're doing it, you're remembering that the Word of God is a spiritual book. The Holy Spirit wrote it, and the Holy Spirit is able to help you understand it. Amen. That's how we read the Word, trusting in Him. If you read through something and it's like, I do not get what's happening here, offer of the prayer. I yield myself, Father, to the Holy Spirit to help me understand this. If I don't understand this right now, I trust that You will show it to me. You will reveal it to me. So meditating on the Word, why? To, again, to know Him. And then finally, doing the Word of God. To know Him. We might have thought, well, what does doing the Word of God have to do with knowing Him? Let's read 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. It says here, we know that we have come to know Him, and this is a big two-letter word, if. We know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commands. What are His commands? It's what we read about Him in the Word of God, right? Like we think of the Ten Commandments, but throughout the Word of God, God is expressing what He is like. And when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? What was the answer? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, right? All your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. And then the other, just like it, is to love one another. Amen. That's the nature of our Father. We're to do the nature of our Father, be pleasing to Him. And from the Word is where we find out what He thinks, what He prefers. And then we say, if You like it, I like it. Right? 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 And what if He says, I don't like that? And you're like, ooh, but I do. What are we going to have to do? We're going to have to say, okay, You don't like it. I don't like it either. That's what we do when we do the Word of God. Amen. We come in alignment with Him. You know the word fellowship? That's what we're talking about. Knowing God, fellowshipping with Him. That word carries the idea of commonness. Commonness. And for us to fellowship with the Father, we've got to be like Him. Now you might say, whoa, that sounds like a tough challenge right there. Well, you're born again, so your spirit is just like Him. You've got the spiritual genetic makeup of your Father, first of all. Amen. But we are working out some things in our flesh, aren't we? And in our thinking, right, to come in line with our Father. Amen. So like you might have a friend that you like to do crafts with, but you're not going to talk about politics with them. because you're on different pages on politics. You see what I'm saying? So what we could say is you are able to fellowship with them over crafts. You enjoy it together. It's something you like to do together. Are there things that we should like to do together with God? Absolutely. Absolutely. But when it comes to the politics, let's not go there because there's no fellowship that happens. Well, here's an interesting thing. If we're going to fellowship with God and there needs to be commonness between us, God ain't changing for nobody. Want me to say that again? God is not changing for anybody. And we wouldn't want him to because he is perfect in all of his ways. Amen? So what it means, just like when you see some Christians, like I'm a Christian, you're a Christian, how come you're so much closer to God than I am? I feel like you know him so much more. What that takes is becoming like him. And that's when you go, God, you say this, then I say yes, this. You say no to that, I say no to that. And I'm becoming more like him. And my fellowship is becoming deeper and sweeter as I'm growing to be more and more like my Father, who I was originally created to be in his image. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So doing God's word. I didn't finish this. Whoever says, I know him, this is verse 4, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. And this is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. So there's a part of knowing him and fellowshipping with him that requires that we are doers of the word. Amen. Praise the Lord. And a final thing about growing in our fellowship with the Lord is we all need to receive from the ministry gifts that God has placed in the body. We need to receive teaching on the word in order to know him better. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13 say, so Christ himself, that's an interesting point right there. Who, we're going to hear about some assignments, and who made the assignments? Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Why? To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, ooh, this next verse, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Every believer should be a part of a local church that preaches and teaches the word of God. This is Christ's design for us. No individual member of the body of Christ is self-sufficient. We need him, but we also need each other and the giftings that are in each other. Amen. So this was about knowing him, acknowledging him, just opening up the door to him. Hi, God. Let's start Wednesday together. It's so much better together than without you. Communing with him, asking him questions, allowing him to be a part of your life. Amen. Worshiping him. Intimate expressions of your love and devotions to him. Amen. And spending time in his word day and night. Spending time in his word reading about who he is and who you are in him. Hallelujah. Ah, to know him. Praise the Lord. Aren't we thankful that he desires this? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you with hearts full of gratitude that you, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the eternal one, that you would set your eyes on us, that you would desire us, that you would call us to know you, and then that you would make a way for us to know you. and our hearts are turned to you and we say, Father, I want to know you more. I want to know you better. And I purpose, Father, to seek after you and to throw that door open to you so that you have access to me and I can know you better. Thank you, Father, for your revelation that comes to me. In love for you, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.